right, good morning and happy new year. Happy new year. So before I get going, before I get started, I heard that joke about it seemed like it's been a while since I've been here. I know it feels like that. I was supposed to be traveling the past two Sundays and I ended up not going. And so I ended up being preached to. And I love that. I love that I have men that I could rely on to bring the word of God, and that I could sit and learn and allow God's word to penetrate my heart the same way it does to you every Sunday. So I'm grateful for that. Before I also have a quick announcement, we do have calendars for the next 6 months. It's been printed out for everyone. You can grab a copy in the back. I believe it's going to be in the back table. So please take one per household. I don't want to see husband, wife, and a teen, and I don't want to see everybody getting one. One per household, okay? And also, as you know, our website is up to date, so you can go on the website and you can look at what's coming up and the things like that. I may also put a link for the calendars there as well, but we'll leave that there. I'm super excited about this new year. I am in this state of mind that newness is good. It's not a bad thing, even though I have no idea what's gonna happen, but I'm still excited about this. And even before I even think about the new year, there's always that moment where you reflect on what was, right? And I was thinking to myself, I was thinking about my daughter, who she's now in Bolivia on a trip, like a mission trip, working with youth. And I thought about how for 17 years, we've been prepping this girl. Like we've been really intentional about raising this girl to be this young woman that she is now. Now, we had a vision of what it would look like, but we really didn't know. Because there was times I didn't think she was getting it. I didn't think the effort and the time we're putting in is sinking in. But it wasn't until she moved out and then experienced college for a semester, experiencing, you know, having to have roommates, experiencing not to have her own bathroom, things like that. And she comes home and I could see the growth. I could see that, man, about 80% of stuff we said to you stuck. And that's encouraging. You know, that's encouraging. I'm also excited not only for this new year, but today specifically, because I have very dear friends that are amongst us this morning. Mike and Debbie Marklin, they can stand. I want you guys to see who they are, because I'm going to tell you about them in a second. Mike and Debbie Marklin, stand up. Mike and Debbie Marklin were our teen leaders when Shayla and I were teens. Mike studied the Bible with me. When I think about where I started, I didn't grow up religious at all. I didn't, I wasn't growing up in the church or being part of the church family or anything like that. I was met, you know, through a friend of mine who was converted as a teen as well. And Mike, you know, I was introduced to Mike that Sunday for the first time. And, you know, we got together and we started studying the Bible. And he started laying the foundation. Now, I have no idea if he saw in me at the time that one day you're going to be leading a church. I don't think he saw that at the beginning. I don't think he saw that I'll grow up to have a wonderful spiritual wife, that I'll have two incredible kids, that I'll be, you know, part of different fellowships, being able to utilize the gifts and talents that God has given me and also receive the benefits of being in the kingdom. I don't think they saw that. But what I do know is that they invested in us. They planted seeds in us, not knowing if it was going to bloom that year or next year or 5 years. But now, this year is going to make it 29 years since I've been a disciple. 29 years. But it began with preparation and planting seeds. And that, to me, that is the most incredible thing when I think about our relationship to God. Because God looks at us for not where we are now. It's what you will become. And we're limited. We are so limited on what we see and understand. The best of us might be able to see an idea about tomorrow. But the rest of us, we're so limited. And we get, just like Angela said, we get distracted and there's so many things in our eyes and we don't see what's beyond. But God knows what's beyond. And so God begins the preparation. And so when we walk into this new year, I'm way off my intro now, but that's okay. The Spirit, you know, sometimes it happens that way. We're stepping into this new year with the unknown. We have hopes, we have dreams, visions, and goals that we want to aspire to. But we really don't know. We really don't know. But God knows. And because He knows, this allows us to be in a space where we can trust. We can trust that God is going to do what's necessary in our lives so that we can be ready for what is to come. I told you since Shayla and I got here that we look at Westchester as not what it is now, but what it could be. What could be this group, this body of believers? And so because we look at it as a what it could be, we first put our trust in God, and then we start making decisions to that what if. What if it's this? Then let's go in this direction. But God is doing something here in Westchester. And I totally believe this. And I hope that where you're sitting, you also believe that too. But if you don't believe that right now, that's okay. Because I believe with God's word and God's spirit, He will guide you right where you need to be. That's what I believe. So here we go. So the title of the sermon today is Heart Prep. And why it's heart prep is because we're walking into a new year. And we don't want to just walk into it like we did last year. Last year was great. Last year there was some great victories and there was some challenging times. But we're walking into a new year. Not that we forget what was behind us and we ignore it, but we're walking into something new. And I believe that God is preparing us for what is to come of this year in 2025 for the Westchester Church. But we gotta be ready for it. You can't just wake up and just roll into whatever God is doing. No, there's some preparation that takes place before we walk into whatever that is that God has ready for us. Just like surgery. No surgeon walks into surgery with no prep. No examination of the patient, didn't diagnose anything, just walk in with gloves and tools in his hands ready to cut things up. If you have that kind of surgeon, walk out. Get in the wheelchair, wheel your way out of there. You don't want to be in that room, trust me. But it's heart prep. We must trust God's process because it is a process. It's not just a snapping of the finger. God wants to do something in us, but he has to do his part. He has to work and prepare us for it. And so we're going to look at how does God prep our heart for what's to come? Because individually, there are some things written for you. There is some thing, there are some individual things that God has tasked for every one of us. And collectively as a church, there's a thing, there is something that God wants us to achieve, to accomplish, to obtain, to do, to fulfill as a church. This group, Westchester. And so he's going to prepare us, but we got to be ready. We got to be ready and we got to be willing, right? So let's look at our, let's go on to this. God searches our heart. Before we begin the journey, before we grab hold of whatever that is that God is preparing us for, he looks into the heart. Not because, you know, he's trying to force something in there, but it's more of an assessment. Now, it's not an assessment for him. He already knows. It's for us. It's that he can reveal whatever that is for us. In Psalms 139, verse 23, it says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." Again, when we equate this to God being a surgeon, he doesn't just, you know, evaluate. A surgeon doesn't just look at you and decide what he needs to do. There's questions. There's probing questions. Or you might get probed. Right? He's using scanners, and x-rays, and blood work to try to assess what's the cause of your ailment. Why do we need to have this procedure done? Right? It's a process. I think about the scripture where, you know, David told me, you know me. Like, I think about my relationship with Mike and Debbie. Like I said, it started off when I was 16, 17 years old. And now I'm 40-something. I'm 40-something. They know me. They know me. They knew that the knucklehead, baggy pants, big shirt teen to the 40-something-year-old man. They know me. And there's a comfort that comes with being around people that know you. You can let your hair down. You could take your shoes off. Hopefully it don't stink. But they don't mind because they know you. They know it stinks. They already know it has an odor. They already get it. There's a comfort in that. And then because of that comfort, there's a peace that you can be naked. I mean, like when I mean naked, like you can be honest and real. You don't have to put up a facade. David said, God, you know me. He knows each and every one of us. It's not like he has to go and try to figure us out. Like he has to sit on the couch of a counselor and just try to understand Kenson. Like, I don't know why he does the things he do. He knows why I did it. He knows why you do it. He searches the heart. And what is he doing when he's searching? He wants to reveal the root cause of whatever that is that's ailing you. Whatever it is that's going to keep you from fulfilling what I have set out for you. So I need to bring this out. I need to reveal the sin that we like to hide. You know, it's so crazy. As much as I say Mike knows me, there's some secret things in the corner of my heart that I keep quiet. But God knows what it is. He knows, not only does he know it, but through his word, he reveals it to me and says, this is who you are. This is what you have done. This is who you are. He reveals our fears. Many of us walk into something new and we're fearful because we're not in control anymore. We don't control the narrative. We can't control the outcome. And we get nervous about it. We get anxious. So God reveals those things because he knows it's going to hinder whatever is coming. He knows what's coming. And when I say something's coming, it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a bad thing. Like you're preparing to hear the worst news ever, right? It could be the good thing, the blessings that we just sung about. The blessing that's going to come, I got to get you ready for it. I got to get you ready for this because it's coming. And man, when it comes, the floodgates is going to be so much you can't hold it back. So I need to strengthen you. I need to get you ready for what's coming. So God is preparing the heart, and he reveals these things to us. He reveals the wounds that we carry around. Sometimes we're not even aware of those wounds. It happened to us, and we buried it. This happened years ago. It's not really a big issue until it is. And God reveals those things. Again, why? Because he wants to get us ready. He doesn't want anything to hinder what is about to come our way. This is an incredible thing. David asked God to test him. That's a brave, courageous request. Can I confidently say, God, go ahead and test me? Can you imagine going into, if you back in your college days, and you walk into class and you ask the professor, man, just give me a pop quiz. Go ahead and give me that pop quiz. I'm ready. Give it to me. Imagine your life now, where you're sitting. Are you ready to ask God to test you? Test me and see what's there. I believe David was okay. Not only was he okay with being tested, he was okay with failing if that test came his way, because there was a trust in God that he had. That is an amazing thing that I think all of us can benefit from, in our trust and knowing that, man, we are in our Father's hands. And if he tests me and I fail, I will learn from my failures. But God is good. That's what David is saying. And if you have a chance, read that Psalm, Psalms 139. It is a beautiful, beautiful, almost like poetry, how he describes the way he sees God. It's amazing. I encourage you to read it. But God searches the heart, because he wants to reveal the things that may hinder us. Because if we want to grab hold of the blessings, if we want to grab hold of whatever he wants us to accomplish, then this is part of the process. Next, God refines the heart. See, once he's revealed it to us, right? Once we get real and we get honest and we accept, okay, God, this is some of my shortcomings. This is where I lack. I look at my marriage and as a husband, no, there is some huge holes here. As a father, I could see how I've neglected my kids. I can see how I've made excuses. As a friend, I could see how I let things drift. I didn't go after. I could see some areas in my life that it's hindering me. And so God reveals that to us and in hopes that we would respond, right? I'm saying this to everyone in the hopes that, giving the benefit of doubt, that when it's revealed to you what's hindering, that you're gonna respond the way God expects you to respond to those things, right? So God, he begins to refine the heart. Now, we could look in Hebrews chapter 12, and this gives a great example of our Father at work when it comes to preparing our heart for what's to come. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4, it reads, "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have completely forgotten his word of encouragement that addresses you as father addresses his son." Just to stop there for a minute, again, it reminds us that part of the refinement is gonna have to address the elephant in the room. The things of our heart, the sin that's in our heart, whatever that is, it has to be addressed. Understand that the struggles that we're going through, for some, it's just because there is this sin in our life that we refuse to repent of. Now, not every struggle is because we are in sin. That's not what this is saying. But this particular struggle, this thing that you know is sitting before you, that's not being resolved, that's not being dealt with, man, this is why we're here. But it continues. It says, "My son, Do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for the little while as they thought best. Hold on, don't look too fast. There we go. But God disciplined us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Just like a patient that's undergoing surgery, there is a process. And yes, that process might be uncomfortable. It might make you a little hot under the collar. It might put you off tilt or a little unease. But all of that is coming from a father who loves you. Only a father who doesn't love you won't discipline you. He'll let you go. Do as you please. Come and go however you see fit. But a father who loves you will discipline you. Why the discipline? Because he knows that there is something that he's trying to prepare for you. You know, I have this image here for you. The toughest part of what we would call refinement or discipline or trial, it's not the beginning and it's not the end. It's the now. It's the time between the two endpoints. That's the most difficult time of this trial. But what happens is, once it's over and you've come to understand, oh, I see why I had to go through this, that gap becomes minimal. Like, it doesn't even seem like it was 5 years of walking in the desert any longer. It just seems like 5 minutes. Because God was using that time to refine you so that you can grow and be prepared for what is to come. That is the whole point of it. And so God, he's intentional about preparing our hearts. Even in this hour as we sit, he's been preparing for 2025, long before we got here. And so it's up to us to say, okay, just like I will blindly trust a surgeon who says they have these degrees and they went to the school and they did X many hours of surgery and what have you, I'm gonna trust you to put me to sleep and do what you gotta do and wake me up. How much more should we trust our Father who holds our soul in his hands? So yeah, a little bit of discipline feels uneasy. Yeah, it doesn't feel good at the moment. But I know it's good for me. I know that because I'm going through this, something is coming and he's preparing me for it. And so because of that, I can find joy. When I think about James 3, where he talks about find joy in trials, when I first read this as a young Christian, I couldn't understand that. I was like, how could someone find joy in refinement? That hurts. That don't make any sense. And then I realized over time that the joy that he's talking about is not feelings. It's not emotional. It's knowing that my trials has a purpose. It's knowing that I got heaven waiting for me. So I know that I can be joyful in this time of suffering. And I know some of you are suffering right now. I haven't talked to everybody, but in a room this size, somebody is suffering right now. Somebody's discouraged right now. Someone is looking at 2025 with eeriness. But I'm telling you that if you put your trust and hope in God, if you can close your eyes and truly trust Him, this is going to benefit you. I don't know how. Just like Mike and Debbie, they did not know this is where I would end up. But you trust the process. You trust that God, refinement is good. It's good for you. It's good for your soul. It's purposeful. He has plans. We have ideas. He has plans. And all of this is for His benefit. And so this is where the refinement starts in our hearts. He's refining it. Even as we sit, He's refining it and getting us ready. So why the refinement? Why must I go through hardship? Why do I need to get ready for 2025? Well, it's all about restoration. It's all about the broken pieces, the tough times that we had to endure, or maybe the carrying of sin. All of that was to restore the heart. See, God doesn't pay much attention about the things we do per se. When I mean as far as value, what He truly values is our heart. That's what He's aiming for. He's aiming for our hearts. And so that's why He's going to work right inside. He's not just giving us a haircut and a makeup. No, no, no. He's not just changing clothes or changing addresses. No, no, no. He's going right at the heart. Because He knows that's what He's after. That's where it has to begin. And so that's what He's doing. He's working in our hearts to restore. In Jeremiah 18, verse 6, it says, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. That gives you, it should give us so much comfort to know that the God who created galaxies upon galaxies, universes, suns, moons, stars, things that we can't even pronounce or fathom or quantify, and all of these things, He specifically not only knows you, understands you, but is preparing something for you so that you can be restored back to me. Because I desire this relationship with you. I desire this most intimate thing that you cannot comprehend. I'm telling you what it is and you still don't get it. But I'm patient enough to prepare your heart. I'm going to take as much time as it takes to work on your heart so that I can be restored. Because He is the potter working it. And you know, if you've ever worked with clay, you know it's not this soft, gooey thing, right? It's sometimes it has a hard texture, and you got to kind of mold that thing into what it is that you envision. And at first, like me, I was that clay, oversized clothes and everything, but I was molded. God was molding me through different brothers and sisters in my life. He was molding me. Through different tough times and seasons, He was molding me. He was working the corners and working the edges, smoothing out some stuff, cutting off some stuff. Because guess what? Cutting this off is, if I don't cut this part off, it's gonna hinder you. It's gonna slow you down. It's not part of the process. So I need to get rid of this in your life. Hopefully we do it with humility. And we do it ourselves. We're at a space where we can cut these things out on our own, but then sometimes God has to do it for us. Maybe because we're stubborn. Maybe because we're too comfortable. And He's like, nah, you need to move. You need to go. And so He cuts things off. But He's working. He's working through the insides of us, all in preparation for what is to come. Because remember, God doesn't just have a person-to-person view, you know, like we do. We see each other directly. God has a bird's eye view of everything. So he sees all things at once. And so he knows what's coming. He knows what we need to be doing and where we need to be in our hearts so that we can be able to embrace what he has in store for us. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we trust everything with. This is why we can be excited and hopeful for 2025. Regardless of how 2024 was for you, the scriptures teaches us that we can put our hope in our trust in him. That's what it teaches us. And so we can do that. We can trust God with the scalpel. We can trust him with it. Yeah, it's gonna hurt a little bit, but that's okay. I'm gonna put a little anesthesia on here. I'm gonna put a little nice little Band-Aid, little you know, Mickey Mouse Band-Aid on there for you. You'll be all right. Kiss the boo-boo. You'll be okay, trust me. When it's over, trust me, you're gonna be better. You're gonna be better, trust me. And so when I talk about what is to come, you know, I've been, you know, just really thinking about 2025. And I know that many of you are like, okay, Ken, so what's the theme for this year? What are we gonna be doing? Well, you gotta come back next week. Come back next week and I'll share with you what God's put on my heart, where I believe this is gonna be extremely beneficial for us as a group, right? But what I'm asking before we get to next week, here's what I'm asking. We know that God is preparing something for us. And I know that, and just from what we looked at the scriptures, how God searches the heart and that he refines us as we go, right? And he cuts out the things that he needs to cut out. There's a part that we play as well. There's a part as his people that we can play in getting ready for what is to come. And we can do that through prayer, confession, and fasting. And so I'm asking everyone here, those who can, you know, those who have health issues, you know, please consider this, right? But I'm asking everyone to join me this Wednesday on a time of fasting from sun up to sundown, right? And before Wednesday come, I'm also asking everyone to spend the time in confession, right? Get into conversations to those you trust, those that you, that's in your corner. Get whatever's on your heart, get it out of there. Get it off your heart. First of all, it's good for your soul. It's good for your soul to confess these sins off your heart. And then spend some time praying and asking God to prepare you for 2025, right? And then on Wednesday, you know, we'll be fasting from sunup to sundown. You choose whatever it is that you're gonna fast from. And then that'll be our way collectively that we can go before God and say, God, listen, we wanna prepare. We wanna be ready for what it is that you have ready for us in 2025. So I'm asking everyone to do that. Please, again, get into conversations with your brothers and sisters. These are your family. And for those of you who are not Christians yet, here's what I would say to you as well. The invitation to knowing who God is and what he has in store for you is there for you as well. If you are visiting there, you've came with someone, someone invited you to come, sit down with them. Get open about your life. Allow them to show you how you can have access to this God that we're talking about. And again, I invite you to come on out. We're gonna be going through some series this year that I think is gonna be super incredible and helpful for our hearts. But I want us to be ready for Westchester. I want us to be ready for what God has in store for us in 2025. Amen.